السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My dear respected brothers, elders and sisters in Islam, it is a blessing and tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, has enabled us to reach the last few nights and last few days of this year, month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our supplication, du'as. May Allah purify our soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those, insha'Allah, where we live longer, we reach many more Ramadan, where we purify our soul. And the time when we meet Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is pleased with us and we are pleased with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected brothers, from yesterday's discussion with regard to our supplication, our amal and du'as, will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one of the conditions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us to respond to Him in obedience and stay away from haram. And then our income has to be halal. And a person who is a traveler, whose dua is accepted without any doubt, in a desperate situation, he raised his hands. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that man's dua will not be accepted. How his dua will be accepted? Because his clothing, his food, and his entire, the whole sustenance and his entire body, it's grew with haram. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us, you know, amongst those who will try as much as possible to earn halal earning. My dear respected brothers, generally sometimes we only think, okay, interest is haram, and we just think about only that. It's only one element. It's only one element of haram. We'll go detailly on that. And we live in a time, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even though you try to stay away from interest as much as you can, the smoke even will touch you. So we are in an environment like that. The banking system, we cannot avoid it. And yesterday we went through. And our needs are divided into three different categories on Islamic perspective. One is darurat. That is the necessities. Necessities is very important for us to survive. These are survivals. Food we need, but not the luxury food. You know, in food is need, but in food also you have three categories, which is the necessity amount, and the amount that you have, it's better, alhamdulillah, you call hajat, and tahsiniyat, beautify, you go on, you come with a starter, you have a soup, you have a main course, and then you have dessert and all that. So you go on. So he said, oh, for food, it's fine, I'm desperate for food, so even the food, you cannot go to a level of having dessert and starters and main course. You know, it's only the main course. Just keep your belly up. Your hunger is being taken care of. So in everything, even clothing comes under necessity. But then in the clothing also we have different category of clothing. You can buy a clothes for $20. But same thing, same need, you can buy it for $200 because a different brand. You say, oh, clothing is a necessity. So you use your credit card buying expensive clothing. Same thing, you can go in above brand. Similarly, housing is a necessity. You need to have shelter to live. When it comes to the housing, place to place, it differs. In some cities, people hardly live in their own houses. Generally, they live in the rentals. Rentals. What is important is that you need to have a shelter. You need to have a shelter. And end of the day, this is something very important. I always keep talking about it. It's only we have a satisfactory of saying that we own it. In this world, nothing we own. Absolute ownership is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. Sometimes we take 40 years of mortgage. We don't even know whether we're going to live 40 years. And you say, you know, it's waste, I pay rental, rather I pay. I said, do you have absolute ownership? We don't have absolute ownership. Nothing. It's just the satisfactory, oh, I own a house. You know what has happened to the housing market all over the world? People buy extra houses in the name of investment. They can only live in one house. They can only live in one house. There's a lot of speculation happening. The market price is going higher, 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 higher. People cannot reach. This is a, you know, backdoor business between the banking sector and then the, you know, the development sector. They plan it together. It goes on here and there. And then we feel, oh, I have one house, I'm paying mortgage here, I'm having another house, I'm paying mortgage there, I'm here. And then he's not living it, he's renting it out, and he's saying, okay, now someone else is living it. From that rental, he's paying the mortgage, and this is going on here and there. And a lot of brothers come and ask, first house, check, can I go for the mortgage? The second house, third house, all these type of question comes in. I actually request all the brothers and sisters, ask yourself, istafti qalbak. This is something you are taking a big risk, the risk of your akhirah. And when it comes to agreeing for a contract which is based on riba, you're actually challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to have enough defense in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you have it? You can prepare it. Do you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's up to you. It's up to you. But actually, we don't own anything in this world. We don't own anything. What we want, alhamdulillah, if we have a shelter, in whatever means we have a shelter, alhamdulillah. That's what comes under darurat, necessity. Then it comes on the next category of hajat. Yes, if you can own, you don't need to keep shifting here to there and keep, you know. But now, if you look at the Canadian law, the occupant has extraordinary right. The occupant, right? The person who is actually renting the house to you cannot just keep increasing the advance because you are living there. They can't put you to the street. Right? There is a reasonable way how you do it because occupant, you need a place. And this constitution gives you that welfare protection. If you don't earn enough income for you to fulfill your necessity, one of them is the housing. It is a responsibility of the state, the government, the city to provide you what? With the house. But we don't know where we will get it. But what I'm saying, we don't need to go to that level of, you know, getting the government or the welfare or whatever it is. If I need, yes, that's a different story. But what I'm trying to say here is, we don't really own anything. It is only a satisfactory in the mind, I own it. Right? Oh yes, you keep paying it. When are you going to own it? You don't know. When you own it also, you don't really own it. And in fact, you go and read, some of the laws here. Many countries which was, you know, colonized by the British, the land is declared as a crown land. Do people know what is crown land? Crown land means the real owner is the king and the queen. We only have the right to use, live as long as you want. But whenever the state decides they want to do some development, right, they will pay us with a compensation and put us out. If you don't agree, they will go to courts and they will remove us because the absolute ownership is not in hand. It's not there. You can go and read about it. If you go and read, you will understand about it. So when it comes to riba, it's very, very important we try to understand. Any transaction which is connected with riba, any transaction, even people come and ask about the credit card, right? In credit card, you're agreeing to pay riba. If you fail to pay on time, you're agreeing what? To pay riba. And why they are doing it? This is the world, the materialistic world, this entire consumer world, they have produced so much of things, and they want us, before even we earn, they want us to spend. It's a trapping way of doing it, before even we have earned. And we end up buying things which is unnecessary. Every single year, you go to your house and see how much of things that you clear out. Why? Because you say, oh, you just buy. You keep buying it. And do we really spend on necessities? Is a question. How much do we spend on necessities? Allah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's haram to live a life of extravagance. You have to live in capacity of your necessity and need, not a life of extravagance. Allah says, لا تسرفوا إن الله لا يحب المسرفين. Don't do israf. It's haram. How is the earning also have to be halal? Spending also have to be halal. Remember that. Oh, if I earn in a halal way so I can spend the way I want? No. Spending also have to be in a halal way. Now the industry, our sisters, you know, the beauty industry, the cosmetics, the decoration, the events, and Allahu Akbar. When I ask a wedding comes, oh, our brothers from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, we are very good at wedding, spending wedding. Big wedding. Our young men don't want to get married. You need at least 50K or 70K. And his end of his life, for 3 years, he's paying the loan what he took for this wedding. And sometime before he paid the loan, his problem in the marriage is over. He has not paid, finish it. Because we try to live a life to please others. What do others think? What will auntie think? What will mamu think? What will grandma think? What will neighbor think? So because of that, our lifestyle go up, up and up and up. We think it's pleasing. No. And you know, the saddest thing, if you go and see the world richest people, except for the vehicles that they travel, the most of the things are very simple. They don't buy very branded clothes. They live a very simple life. Because they have, this is, because now what happened, they know, even if you wear the $10 t-shirt, everybody is not looking at the t-shirt. Oh, so and so is coming. So no worry. Now the problem is, how people, we don't have a name for ourselves. We don't have an identity for ourselves. We don't have a respect for ourselves based on our knowledge, based on our, you know, piety, based on our service to the community, nothing. So we want to wear something has a name on it and say that I'm a guy, man, I'm wearing something which is very expensive. And unnecessarily we spend a lot of money. So it's very, very important that earning has to be halal, spending also has to be halal. One important thing is riba. So if we can divide our needs into these three categories, what is my necessity? Now, for example, sometimes we go to a restaurant in Canada and all over the world, this becomes. How much is a meal costing in a restaurant? Once in a while, once a month, you go out with the friends, with the family. It's, you know, it's good. Because family bond, this thing, what do you call friendship, brotherhood is important. But you make it more simplicity. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged simplicity. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say you be a person who is very miserly. Don't spend, hold on, no. You be a very generous person, but with simplicity. There's no extravagant. There's no showing off. There's no, you know, what you call it, showing, what do you call that? That you create that way so you want to impress others? No, nothing. What is need? If you need, yes, have a big lamb, no problem, mashallah. Everyone come and eat and share. You don't, you know, spread a, you know, meal so that it's impress everyone. Hey, this man did it, this man so much, and then you waste. No. You do it for the need, necessity. So all our needs have to be met that way. That necessity, need, hajat. And then comes tahsina. Tahsiniyat is beautification. Beautification. So beautification is a category where many a time the israf kicks in. Israf kicks in. So generally, our income has to be halal. Ulama says, if the income is halal, Allah will give you the wisdom and barakah that you spending also will be in the means of halal. If you earn in a way, in a wrong way, your money also goes away in a different way, there is no barakah. You see, barakah is not the number. Barakah is not how much you're taking back home. Barakah is not your annual pay. And Allah will give you contentment, happiness. You will not, you know, ask anyone. Within that, Allah will give you so much of blessings. So much of blessings. You have one meal, alhamdulillah, it suffices you. You have a little bit meal, you friends together, one person's meal will suffice two people. It's barakah. The hadith says, ta'amul wahid yakfi li isnain. Ta'amul isnain yakfi li arba. So, in when it comes to interest riba, it's a very detailed subject when it becomes riba. You see, basic rule is, through money, wealth alone cannot create wealth. Right? You cannot borrow money and give additional money. It has to be an investment. It has to be a joint venture. What is the way out? Way out is partnership. We need to do entrepreneurship with partnership. 10 people together. For example, you alone, you cannot do this business. Then you go to borrow money from the bank. The bank will give you only based on interest. But same money, you need about maybe 1 million, you need 100,000 to start up the business. You 10 people can put 10K and make it what? 100,000. And you all become partners in that event. And do it slowly. Allah puts lots of barakah. This is what Allah encourage. Sharika, musharaka, you do together. Mudaraba. In time of, some people have the expertise of doing it, some people have the wealth. The expertise and the wealth has to come together. You do it together. Now that is what is happening. You go to the, you know, stock market, the successful companies, they have opened their public, you buy Shamsia. What they're doing? They are making money from our money. And they even speculate that. Today you buy a share is about $5, right? Suddenly it go very high, you are very happy. Oh, very nice, man. And you buy more shares. Suddenly they speculated it come down to $1. It keeps going. We really don't know what's really happening there. Who is speculating it? Who is playing it around? Right? It's a study on its own. I'm not saying, you know, stock market is haram completely. And neither I'm saying it's halal completely. And then there is something called whitelisting. We don't know. They're taking our money and what are they doing? Are they buying wine? What is the business they're doing? Are they, you know, manufacturing weapon and sending to kill innocent people? There are companies in stock market which their main income is manufacturing weapons to destroy humanity. And those just tobacco companies making a lot of money. So one is interest, other one is we cannot do any transaction which is cause harm for humanity. Cause harm for humanity. La darar wala lidar. Anything which is causing harm, any product that you're selling is causing harm. If it is proven harmful, we cannot do that. Can be anything. Number two, we cannot do transaction of anything which is clearly, you know, mentioned in the Quran and Hadith in Sharia considered as haram. Clearly haram. Any company or anybody is, you know, importing, exporting, manufacturing wine or anything, can we do it? No. We're not going to open a wine store, but sometimes we invest in the stock market. That company is doing what? Trading in wine. We're not seeing all those things. So this is, we need to do as much as possible our due diligence before we enter into any venture. Do the due diligence well. Go through the list. What are they doing? What they are selling? Is it halal products? No harm? Then another very important point is that bribing. Now this is happening very commonly. This is a very common thing in all over the world. It's happened from a big scale to the bottom scale. That is what is happening. Right? In all over the world, it happens. On the people are the inflation and the weight that people are carrying because of that. A job is there. It's a public job. It can be done for 50,000, 50K. But what happened? Because of in between, so many guys need to be paid. The bill has been put by the contractor for 100K. Actually, job value is only you. With 50K, he can make a profit, he can do everything. And now people go, bribe those people. Allah mentioned this in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, where Allah speaks about riba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this as well. وَتُدُلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ They will go to the rulers, لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيكًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ They will go to the rulers, they will go to the lawmakers and make law so that one group of people can benefit and eat the wealth of the people. This is happening right across all over the world. Right across all over the world, and the governments are involved with that. Everyone knows about it. There's a huge black, you know, everything, there's a huge black market outside. That's why the poverty level is so bad. People go monopolize it. They take over the resources which supposed to be, you know, that resources to be given to the whole world. It does not belong to only for one country or one group of people, for one company, because these are natural resources. Have they done anything? No. But this is happening in big scale and it happens in small scales as well. We have contractors, we have people go and speak, deal with the, you know, city. They talk there, they do this and all that. And then we feel, no, we are not doing riba. And he says, halal. We are not doing riba. My respected brothers and sisters, first, the biggest mufti is your own heart. Istafti qalbak, ask your heart. What are you doing? Is it correct? Is it fair? What are you doing? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maximum in your capacity. Are you doing that? If you're doing that for survival, you are not. You're on the street, you're struggling. It's a different story. But sometimes we don't do these type of dealings for survival. We do these type of dealings for what? To accumulate more wealth and more wealth and live a luxurious life. Live a luxurious life. And my respected brothers, we need to engage in entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship, Allah says, Allah has made barakah in bay'ah. And Allah has made it halal. In sadaqah, there is barakah. Allah has made riba haram. Allah wants us to engage in business. Because through business, only people's needs have been fulfilled. Because it's from one location to other location. What is business? People had needs and wants. And another company or another person is trying to meet that needs and wants. Bringing those services, bringing those products, making sure that people's necessary. But when you do that, it's very important that you do it in a most righteous way. You don't monopolize it such way and control the price, control the market. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam never wanted to fix a price. In Medina, the price was fluctuating. Some sahabas came and complained. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, that's not my matter, leave it that. Let it happen naturally. But if someone interferes and controls that, someone interfere, monopolize that, and he has a big share, you call the lion share. Anything because of the lion share, I have the bargain power. And when he has the bargain power, he has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when it comes to the product which is people are in need, food, clothing, that is necessity. Power, the hydro, all these are necessity. Now it has been monopolized. The companies produce electricity. The companies produce, you know, all these services. It's very important necessity. Half a day we didn't have hydro. We were trying to freeze really for a while. You see, how do people, we are in desperate of it. We become in a desperate situation. You raise the price how much ever you want. People will say, okay, I'm desperate. I need to pay it. I need to do it. May Allah protect us. So we need to become main players, my dear brothers. In these projects, we need to get involved. Invest on it. As a company, get together. Don't always think, okay, I'm going to be just an employee. Why are you doing it? You are not doing it for your own need. You are doing it so that you can do betterment for the humanity. When you have a bigger share, you can give a better, what? Concession for the people. So righteous people who are actually, you do business for sake of Allah. Do business for sake of Akhirah. You engage with that so that you can do charity. You engage with that so you can be kind to the people. You can be very charitable to the people. Make it convenient, ease to the people, not just to grab the wealth of the people. Your company has to survive. You have to survive. Yes, all that we all understand. Everyone knows how to make maths. It's very easy. How you do the costing, how you make the markup, your whole turnover, how much you pay to the country, everything is there. But get engaged, but come together as partners. Come together as partners. Don't go and borrow money from the banks. Don't go and borrow money from the banks. Right? We have that habit of doing it, and we have made it. You try to live within your means, earn, live it, divide your wealth, have one portion at least as savings. Only for the savings. See how fair Islam is. You pay tax, not for your savings. You pay tax for what? For your earnings. Right? You pay tax for your earnings. And you pay tax for your spending as well. When you buy something also, what's happening? You end up paying. That's how the world is. But Allah said, no. There is no zakah for your earnings. There is only zakah for your savings. You know why? When you spend, you can earn $1 million every month. But you spend $1 million, nothing in savings. Zakah is not wajib upon you. Why? When you spend in good means, cash is flowing in the market. You're not hoarding. You're not holding on wealth. You're not holding here and there. Now people have hoarded and they even go in now hoarding it in the, you know, cryptocurrency. Say, we can't keep it here now. It's another topic on its own. Whether crypto is it halal or haram, we need to go detailly on it. That's another topic on its own. How that is generated, what is happening, who wants to control, and it is, my dear brothers and sisters, try to understand, it's a basic thing. People, human beings have needs. When we engage in business, our intention is we need to make things easy. They talk about, you know, customer is first, customer service, customer is our priority and all that. But that is just the fake hypocrisy. And they just grab it on. They just take it. They know the necessity where it comes in. Right? They monopolize it everywhere. And Islam encourages agriculture, to involve in agriculture. You know, how many of us think even about agriculture? Because that's an important sector, you know. The food comes to the plate. How much of effort's happening? Even that market is being monopolized. Monopolize. How much they balance the market. Sometime when they overproduce, they destroy it. I have seen from my own eyes in South Africa, sometimes some season they overproduce apples. They take those apples and dump in this ocean. They say they're feeding the fish. You know why? Just to keep it the market price. In Africa, neighboring countries, there are poor people. And few people will eat it. No, they don't want to. They want to keep the market price high. Market price high. Because these corporates control these things. Control these things. We think we are living a free life, but we are living in a 21st century in a modern slavery. Modern slavery. All our data are taken. Nothing. There is no privacy at all. We think there is privacy. There is no privacy at all. But what to do? We need to live in this reality. We need to live. We need to live in this reality and only fight and time to, you know, try to change the system. Try to change the system. And basically, when it comes to our income makes halal and halal, not only one is riba, the way you do transaction, how you do transaction, what are the product you are selling, these are very important. And the wada, words are very important. You cannot lie. Cannot lie. Muslims, never. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin. A trader, a truthful, a trustworthy trader, in day of Qiyamah, he is going to be with the prophets. Allahu Akbar. Greatest reward. Sometimes we think, you know, it's very difficult, but this integrity is very much needed. Saduq, Amin. To do that, we need to have these characters. In Quran, mention these two things. When you hire someone, when to God to Musa alayhi salam, said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Amin. Yusuf alayhi salam says, Alimun Hafid. In matter, Musa alayhi salam, Qawiyul Amin. These two things. One, you have to have trustworthiness, and you must have the strength, the knowledge, the ability. You must have trustworthiness, and you need to have knowledge. This both goes together. When you do trading, when you do business, you need to have knowledge as well. You need to know the market, you need to study everything. You need to invest on that. Same time, you must have trustworthiness. And do the righteous. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am doing this trading. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. What a great trader. Still, his sadaqah jariyah is continuing. Still, he has an account in the bank in Saudi. Because of the waqf that he left behind, still from those waqf, Madinah Munawwara, Masjid al-Nabawi has been sustained. Allahu Akbar. What a great businessman. What a great businessman. And when there was a drought in Medina, he actually imported so much of goods. The local traders came to him and they were negotiating with price. There was a, you know, scarcity of food. If you bought any price, people will buy. They know because he can make lots of profit. This is opportunity. When the retailers came and was negotiating with him, he said, I got a better price. They keep going on. They gave 3 times, 4 times. They came up to 10 times. In the end, they said, in Medina, no one else. We are only the retailers. Who gave you better price than us? This is the best price. Uthman ibn Affan said, Allah has promised 700 times. Can you give me 700 times? They cannot do that. He said, I didn't bring this to make money because people are desperate. They want food. I have brought this for sadaqah, charity. Allahu Akbar. Big opportunity of making money, business. So we need to understand that. Certain necessity, we add value on it and then we charge high. It's an issue we must try to see. Necessity, food, some people come and ask this question as well. But we are together, we need to solve this problem. We say when it's halal certified, price is high. We understand there is some cost involved on, you know, making sure this is certified. Right? There is some work involved. But how can we make easy for people? Especially in the food. Because it's necessity. It is coming under necessity. How can we Muslim Ummah think about it? From which way we can do it? Traders have to think about it. You see, traders, sometimes they feel they earn in many ways and they give little charity and they feel good about it. Sometimes their way of earning is little here and there. They make lots of things, put other people, grab it. You see, it's better for you to earn less profit and give less charity than making people, putting in difficulty and earn more profit and give more charity. Because that charity has no value. Because Allah knows how you earn that charity. That wealth, if you take it in unlawful way, if you take it in a wrong way, when people see, oh, it's so expensive, what to do? And if that heart is paining and they still pay and you gain profit from that, there's no barakah in it. And sometimes, you know, you can't sell it for less than that, so it's Allah knows about it. But if you can do it, you should definitely do that. So this is a very vast area of making our income halal is very, very important. Spending halal, is very, very important. Earning has to be halal, every single thing. And we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in maximum capacity. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So we need to go to alternative system of, you know, how we bring a safety system. You know, the Islamic banking, I don't like to call it Islamic banking. I like to call it alternative banking, because it does not meet the 100% criteria of the objective what Islam is trying to achieve. But it is the first step. It's better than other one. So it's better than. So entire banking, banking is a middleman. If you can avoid that, that's the best thing. But you cannot avoid, you're doing big trading, you need to use it, then you better go to a alternative banking than the very clear haram interest based bank. Allah knows, that is called fattakullah mastata'tum, fearing according to your capacity. Maximum, you're trying to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're trying to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you go on. But that has to be, you know, grown big. We have to invent things. It started in Egypt, actually, in a village, as a welfare system. That module only became very popular in the world, and it converted into Islamic economics and finance. It started in Egypt. It was a welfare system. It was a Qarda Hasana system. They used to give interest-free loan for people who is busy with, you know, agriculture, people doing small entrepreneurship, and then they used to pull it back. They used to voluntarily give some money to that pool, and it start growing, that fund start growing. They keep giving Qarda Hasana, interest-free loan, and people had this in return trustworthy. But sometimes our people, when they take some benefits or service from an Islamic institution, they feel entitled and say, oh, I don't need to pay it. They can't put me out of the mosque. We take very easy. We don't think, if I don't fulfill my promise, another 100 people can benefit from this pool, but they will not benefit if I don't do this. So it's a collective responsibility. We all have to come together collectively, try to see that how we can bring an economy is better. Now, unfortunately, every single thing has been commercialized. It's not, no one is doing it in the intention. Yes, you can have a markup. It's you do a service, you can earn it. But be reasonable. Be reasonable. Don't be greedy. Be reasonable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. Don't speculate the market. Don't bribe here and there. And then, you know, increase the price. Try to do as much as possible in a way. But I encourage our young men and women, educate yourself. Learn about it, learn the market, everything, and becomes great entrepreneurs, become great traders. All these sectors, it can be agriculture sector, energy sector, you name it, health sector, you know, another thing, health, Allahu Akbar, people go desperately there. In this country, health is free. Health actually is not free, it is charged, someone else is paying for it. Nothing comes free. We just feel, oh, I can go and get it the hell. It's, in a way, it's good. When there's emergencies, you know, it has been sometime you get only Tylenol, no problem. Right? In emergency, you get Tylenol, no problem. But remember, nothing is free. So how you can contribute towards it? Health sector, agriculture, right? And then especially the housing industry. What's happening? We need to contribute towards it. We need to become... Our young men and women have to become entrepreneurs, get into that, become partners in a righteous way, try to become, you know, better people in contributing and serving humanity, so that we have maintained everyone. There is a poverty is elevated. You know, the 2.5% of giving is there. It has a very significant role. Significant role. Some of the richest men in the world, richest company in the world, if they can give their 2.5% from that, we can elevate poverty from the world. 2.5%. You just go and see their wealth, how much is it? You see the 2.5%, we can fulfill the necessity need of all the people. People will not die in hunger. And this is created artificially, war. It is created all that. Hunger is created. Allah is fair and just. Allah has taken responsibility of rizq. It is we bima kasabat aydin nas. We have done this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So my dear brothers, month of Ramadan, our du'as to be accepted individually. We know we cannot change the whole world, but I can change one thing. I can change one habit in my lifestyle, in my transaction, in my way of doing it. I can do one change. That what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting. Do that change. We have 2 billion in the world as Muslims. That 2 billion, if they all make small changes, it will have a huge impact in the world. Huge impact in the world. But we are not ready to do that. So it's very important that our spirituality has no value. Our ibadah has no value if our mu'amalat, our transaction is not addressed through that. It has to be addressed. It has to be definitely addressed. If that has no value, if our mu'asharat is not been addressed. It's, you know, whole night you stand and pray, but if you neglect the right of a cat, you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ramadan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about a lady. She actually ties the cat because the cat is troubling her. When you pray, that happens. I have a cat at home. You know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, cats tawafoon alaykum. They go around. It is very clean, pure. It's clean and pure. You can have them. You know, but sometimes you have them as a pet and you do extravagant. No, now that also become a no. You do that necessity. You don't take it at extravagant level, spend so much of money for your pet and all that because people are in hungry. Right? But then the moderate level, you having those. The cat was tied and she was praying. Why she did it? Because she was so engrossed in the prayer and she forgot to feed the cat. The cat dies. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says she's going to go to hell. Allahu Akbar. She's going to go to hell. Why? Her interaction, it's Allah's creation. You know, there is hadith saying, you know, a sahabi, because the cat is sleeping, cut the sleep. The cat was here, cut it off because he didn't want to disturb, going to prayer, cut it off and kept it and came. So much love and kind. So it's very, very important. Our mu'asharat, our time, whatever we do, if it's not rectified, our amal will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us try to rectify our, you know, transaction, our way of living, the way we earn, the way we live is very, very important. Don't do extravagant, live to necessity. Actually, people ask this time, people, Gaza, you know, you've been spending maybe $500,000 for Eid shopping, cut it half. How much you can cut it down, the remaining spend in sadaqah. Give it in sadaqah. Give it in charity. In general, what happened? Try to live a simple life. A simplicity has more barakah. Simplicity. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allah, I want to live with simple people. And be resurrected in day of qiyamah with simple people. Not with the people who is doing extravagant and all that. You know, simplicity is very, very important. So we maintain that, change our lifestyle, have a simplicity, and then earning and spending have to be halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our wealth. May Allah purify our soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. Tonight's going to be the, you know, 27th night. There's a great possibility and we have a khatam here. So I request all the brothers, please, brothers and sisters, cooperate. You know, large number of people going to come. So be considerate about others. It's not about your place. You make sure that if you can come early, be considerate about others. Be helpful for others and try to cooperate. You have more reward by being considerate about others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.